Turn now to 2 Kings chapter 22. The words of the prophetess Huldah to King Josiah. 2 Kings 22, verse 19. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. King Josiah, after whom little Josiah is named, is known for many different things. He is known as the boy king, because he was crowned, as verse 1 says, when he was 8 years old. And in English history, the young Edward VI was called, after Josiah, the boy king. Josiah was also a reforming king, and he's well known for that too. He is famous for the rediscovery of the book of the law in the temple. He repaired the temple. He made a covenant with God and his people, a renewal of the covenant, chapter 23, verses 1 and following. He destroyed idolatry, especially that in chapter 23 as well, even at Bethel and in the northern kingdom. And he did this in fulfillment of a prophecy uttered some 300 years before, which even mentioned him by name. That's in 1 Kings chapter 13. Josiah is also one of Judah's greatest kings. Josiah and Hezekiah, those two. David and Solomon, of course, were kings not only of Judah, but also of Israel. So I say advisedly, he, with Hezekiah, was one of Judah's two greatest kings. But though he was known as the boy king, the reforming king, and one of Judah's greatest kings, this morning we're going to consider Josiah as the tender-hearted king. The tender-hearted king. I choose this because this is taught us explicitly in verse 19. Thine heart, says Huldah to Josiah, thine heart was tender. And that's a unique statement made of this king and no other. He's the tender-hearted king. This also is a particularly vivid way of referring to him. You'll not forget it, Josiah is the tender-hearted king. And this title of the tender-hearted king explains Josiah. It explains his life and his work. And today, we have witnessed the baptism of little Josiah Hanley, named after the boy king, the reforming king, one of Judah's greatest kings. But we pray that by God's grace, God will make him, if he hasn't already made him, because God usually regenerates the children, the elect children of believers in their earliest infancy, but that God will make him tender-hearted, like his great namesake. Now we need to summarize here briefly the events of Josiah's life. Godly Josiah was concerned for the temple of God. The last repair made of the temple of God was done some 200 odd years ago by King Joash, and evidently time had told on the building and there were breaches. While these repairs were going on, Hilkiah the high priest found the book of the law in the temple. Was this copy of the book of the law the one which Moses originally deposited by the ark? In Deuteronomy 31, verses 25 and 26. How many other copies of the book of the law were there in the land at this time? What had been Josiah's exposure to the book of the law before this copy was discovered? 2 Kings chapter 22 does not directly address these questions. Anyway, when this book of the law has been found, Hilkiah the priest gives it to Shaphan the scribe. Shaphan reads it, he sees it's important, and he then in turn reads it to the king. Now what exactly did he read to the king? did he read all of the book of the law, which from other places we can deduce was the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. One man has estimated that it would take about 10 hours to read that book of the law. Did he read all of it, or did he read some of it? If he read some of it, which parts did he read? And again, we don't know. We're not explicitly told. We do know, and this is the most important thing, we do know the effect that it had on the king. The king heard the reading of the book of the law, and he understood that God's wrath was against Judah and Jerusalem, his church in the Old Testament. Understanding that, he rent his garments. Joel 2 tells us that the rending of the garments is a picture of the rending of the heart. His heart was broken at hearing God's wrath against the church, and he rent his garments as a symbol of that. Prayed to God and wept. And then he sent a delegation to inquire of the Lord further about this matter. What was God going to do and when? So off went this delegation, consisting of Hilkiah the priest and Shaphan the scribe, both of which we've already mentioned, and three others. Off they went to Huldah the prophetess. This, of course, raises the question, why did they go to Huldah? From other passages of the Word of God, we know that the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Zephaniah were alive at this time. Were these two men not in Jerusalem at this time? We don't know. We do know that they went to Huldah. And Huldah told them, yes, in accordance with God's word, Judah and Jerusalem will be destroyed. But it will not come in Josiah's day, because his heart was tender, and he repented, and he turned to God. That summarizes chapter 22. Chapter 23, which completes the story of Josiah, in 2 Kings anyway, because he's also mentioned in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. 2 Kings 23 goes on to speak of the renewal of the covenant, the destruction of idolatry, the keeping of the Passover, which was the greatest keeping of the Passover in all the time of the judges and in all the time of the kings. And then finally it closes with the reference to Josiah's sad death at the hands of Pharaoh Necho of Egypt at Megiddo in northern Israel. And I'm saying again that the key to understanding Josiah and his life was that his heart was tender. Let's consider then Josiah, the tender-hearted king, humbled by the word, destroying idolatry and reforming the church. Josiah, the tender-hearted king, humbled at God's word, destroying idolatry and reforming the church. Now, what was the central way in which Josiah showed that his heart was tender? You might think that the chief way in which a king would show that his heart was tender was generally through kindness and compassion. That he was a particularly tender-hearted king would therefore mean that he was kind to the people of his dominion, to the servants at court, to his children, and to his wife, and so on. Now, I see absolutely no reason to deny that Josiah was compassionate to his friends and subjects. In fact, I see every indication from the tenor of the passage that he was kind and compassionate to his family and friends and subjects. But this isn't what's brought out in this part of the Word of God. Ephesians 4 verse 32 commands us, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So in this passage, tender-hearted, here in Ephesians 4, is the equivalent of kindness, mercy, and compassion. This tender-heartedness shows itself in forgiving those who wrong us. And according to the previous verse, Ephesians 4, verse 31, being tender-hearted is the opposite to being bitter, wrathful, angry, clamorous, the opposite of evil speaking, and the opposite of malice. All those things are true about tenderheartedness, and no doubt they were true of Josiah, but this isn't the thing that 2 Kings 22 highlights. I ought to say, though, about this tenderheartedness, as explained in Ephesians 4, that this is not a natural thing. there is something like this tenderheartedness in some unbelievers. There's a natural affection. Some are more decent and civil and friendly than others. But the tenderheartedness spoken of in Ephesians 4, verse 32, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit given only to elect believing people of God. But again, we come back to the question, what is this tenderheartedness then as it is presented in 2 Kings 22 and verse 19? And the answer here is that a tender heart is one that is soft and responsive to the Word of God. That's what a tender heart is in this passage. Shaphan comes with the book of the law. He reads God's word to Josiah, and tender-hearted Josiah believed it and was humbled. He rent his clothes and wept. That's what being tender-hearted is here. It is therefore the opposite of a hard heart. A hard heart is a heart which is unresponsive to God's word. A heart from which the word of God simply bounces off. A heart which receives no positive impression from the word of God. It always receives some impression, but it's negative because God's word never returns to him void, and the heart is then hardened by the word of God. So the question then is your heart tender or hard? In other words, how do you respond to the word of God? If your response to the word of God is indifference or apathy or even downright hatred, then your heart is not tender. If your heart is receptive and sensitive to the word of God, so that you love God's word and will to obey it, then you have a tender heart. This is the test for a tender heart in this word of God. We ought to notice further, though, that Josiah's heart was tender to the law. Shaphan did not merely read any part of the word of God, but he read the law, as it's found in the Pentateuch. So he had a sensitive and responsive heart to the law. And that, of course, argues for an even greater tenderness in Josiah's heart. Because there are many people who would say that they are receptive to the word of the cross of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. But they would have to admit that the law of God leaves them cold, that they really have little or no interest in it at all. But Josiah's heart was tender even at the law, the commandments set forth in Exodus to Deuteronomy. Further to that then, Josiah's heart was even tender to the judgments of the law. Shaphan read the book of the law, the Pentateuch, or at least parts of it. Josiah exclaimed in verse 13, "Great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us." He understood that this law had been broken by Israel and God was angry with his church. And so Huldah says of Josiah that Josiah heard what God spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they would become a desolation and a curse. And his heart was tender at that. Maybe one of the passages read was Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 25 and following. God says that if his people fall into sin, "I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant." There's a phrase, the quarrel of my covenant. "And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of your enemies. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not hearken for all this unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savour of your sweet odours.
And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be waste, and your cities desolate. That's the sort of thing that Josiah heard. That word of judgment. And tender-hearted Josiah, when he heard that judgment against Judah and Jerusalem, he rent his clothes and wept. We ought to understand, too, that this word of judgment, which Josiah heard at the mouth of Shaphan, was a judgment of the law against the church. It wasn't that God was going to destroy the ungodly world, Moab, Babylon, Assyria, or anything like that. It was Judah and Jerusalem. So a tender heart, therefore, believes all of God's terrible judgments issued against apostate and apostatizing churches which disobey the word and run into idolatry and sin. And we ought to know, too, that Josiah's heart was tender to the judgments of the law against the church as these judgments were read. Draw your attention to the fact that Shaphan was a scribe. He was not a prophet. He was not a preacher. He merely read the law. He didn't preach the law. And yet, even the reading of God's word, which is not as powerful as the preaching of God's word, even the reading of God's word humbled him and brought him to tears for the departure of the church and God's judgment upon her. We ought to note at this point more fully the response of tender-hearted Josiah when he heard the word of God's judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem. First of all, he believed it. He believed it. He didn't say, well, that couldn't be right. God really couldn't be going to do that because he's so merciful and kind. A tender heart, therefore, receives for truth everything which is revealed in God's word. Unbelief in God's word, on the other hand, shows that that heart is not tender at all, even if the person outwardly may appear kind and nice and friendly. Your heart cannot be tender, as described in this word of God, if you do not believe God's word. And following from that, we ought to notice that Josiah believed God's word of judgment. He believed that this judgment was coming on the church. Great is the wrath of the Lord against us, he said. He believed that this judgment upon the church was just, because he says in verse 19 that our fathers did not hearken unto the words of this book. A tender heart believes that. In fact, there was no king of Judah who saw as clearly as did Josiah that the writing was on the wall for Judah, that it was going to be destroyed. He believed God's judgments against the church. In contemporary terms, a tender heart, or a heart that is tender and receptive and responsive to God's word, believes that eternal punishment in hell is coming and is just for everyone who is outside of Jesus Christ. And a heart which denies the justice of hell, and thus the punishment of hell, is not a tender heart, but a hard heart. A heart which is hard against the truth of God's word. Such a heart pretends to be very tender, even more tender and merciful than God. But it is, for all that, a hard heart of unbelief, because a tender heart is a heart which receives for truth everything which is revealed in God's word, even if it is unpalatable. And so tender-hearted Josiah, hearing this word of judgment, humbled himself, wept, and prayed. And for what was he praying with tears? He was praying that God would cause Judah, God's church, to repent of her sins, that the judgment might be averted. So Josiah then grieved when he saw her destruction coming, and he supplicated the throne of God that God might spare Jerusalem and the land. And this tells us something more about the tender heart in Josiah. Not only does the tender heart believe that the justice of God's judgments is impeccable, but a tender heart also grieves over the sins and departures of God's church and prays to God, restore the church that she may be spared of thy heavy judgments. And having made these petitions to God, Josiah asked Hilkiah, Shaphan, and three others to inquire of the Lord for him. He sent them off to find out if God would answer his prayer and in what way God would answer his prayer. The delegation of five decided the best way to inquire of the Lord was to go to the prophetess Huldah. And that was the way in those days. Prophets and prophetesses were there to answer such petitions. It's not the case now, but in those days, that's what you did. You went to the prophet or the prophetess. And her answer was, Judah and Jerusalem will be destroyed. But some time would yet pass, and Josiah, you personally, you will not see that fearful day. So your prayer was heard, Josiah, and the judgment would come later rather than sooner. But none of this answers the question, why was it that Josiah's heart was tender? Some people might think that Josiah's heart was tender because he was the boy king, and boys and young people in general have tender hearts. Does it not say that Josiah was king at age 8 in verse 1? It does. But it also says that the book of the law was discovered in the 18th year of his reign. So now he's 26 when it's said of him that his heart was tender. But if it were the case that youth of itself makes a heart tender, then what are we to make of Josiah's father, who was called Amon? Amon was a wicked king. Amon came to the throne when he was 22. He reigned for 2 years and died. And his heart wasn't tender, even though he was younger than Josiah. So age did not give him a tender heart. It wasn't the case either that Josiah had a little bit of good in him, of himself, that he was able to do some sort of good works that made him look better than other people, that there was a little bit of receptivity in his flesh, so that of himself, Josiah was something less than totally depraved. There was 1% or 2% or whatever good in Josiah. That wasn't the case, because Josiah of himself was as totally depraved as everyone else. Jeremiah put it well for the church of all ages, the heart of man is deceitful above all things. You think of something deceitful, and the heart of man is more deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And there's none that seeketh after God. And they have all together become unprofitable and are out of the way. And the ways of peace they have not known, but destruction and misery are in their paths. Romans 3. The only reason that Josiah's heart was tender, or the only reason why anyone's heart is tender and receptive to God's word, is regeneration. Regeneration alone. Ezekiel 11 and verse 19 says, God is speaking, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. According to Ezekiel 11 verse 19, the natural heart, which all mankind has after the fall of Adam, is a stony heart. The word of God always bounces off. No receptivity at all. Sometimes there's an intellectual appreciation, but there's no spiritual grasp and love of the word of God. That's a stony heart. And in regeneration, God takes the stony heart out, and he gives us a heart of flesh. And a heart of flesh is a tender heart, a heart which is receptive to God's word. Josiah had a tender heart because he had a new heart, the new heart given in regeneration. And his heart was particularly tender because Josiah was a man who was growing in grace. There was also, as well as the initial regeneration at a certain point in time, there was also the ongoing work of sanctification, so that God continually renewed and softened his heart. God blessed the means of grace to Josiah, the preaching and the sacraments. And through prayer and Bible study and the communion of the saints, he drew closer to God, and his heart was softer and more receptive to God's word. That's why his heart was tender. And that's the only reason why his heart was tender. And this truth of regeneration is part of the covenant promise of God to the elect seed of believers. Jeremiah 31, the classic passage on the new covenant brought in Jesus Christ, states this: "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their heart. That's receptivity to the law. When God not only has the law in a book or the law being read, but the law in their hearts. The love of God and obedience to him. That's a tender heart. And that is promised in the covenant to believers and their seed. Not to all of them, of course, because some are reprobate like Esau, but to the true seed, the elect believing seed, those whom God chooses from before the foundation of the world, and he puts in the line of continued generations of believers. And baby Josiah, who was baptized earlier today, by God's grace, is a recipient of that same covenant promise. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. That's the covenant promise to the elect children of believers. And that covenant promise comes to believers and their seed through the cross of Jesus Christ, whereby he shed his blood to obtain the forgiveness of sins for all of his elect people. And he purchases the quickening spirit, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. He renews us from within, so that we have new hearts of flesh and are receptive and tender to God's word. And this work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts is sovereign. As Jesus explained to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the work of the Spirit is like the wind, which blows whithersoever it lists. It blows upon this one, but not that one. And that's the wind, the sovereign wind of regeneration. And that wind, that regeneration, gives a new heart, which is tender to God's word. And thereby we can say that where the heart is not tender, and thus is not receptive to God's word, there is no regeneration in that person. But it was there in King Josiah. And because it was there in King Josiah, Josiah destroyed idolatry. And that's the key thing in chapter 23. At that time, in the very temple of God, there were vessels for Baal, verse 4. There were pagan groves at the temple in Jerusalem as well, verse 6. In that same temple, there were altars built by ungodly kings of Judah, such as Ahaz and Manasseh, who was Josiah's grandfather. That's mentioned in verse 12. And these altars were served by idolatrous priests, mentioned in 2 Kings 23 and verse 5. And in fact, in the high places round about Jerusalem, the little hills that encompassed her, there were other pagan shrines built by King Solomon that had been there for over 300 years. Because when Solomon drifted at the end of his days, he built shrines to the gods of his pagan wives who turned his heart astray. And in the valley of Topheth especially, the children of the church, nominally now, externally now, the children of the church passed through the fire and were offered up as living sacrifices to the pagan god Molech. 2 Kings 23 and verse 10. And this man, Josiah, whose heart was tender, who listened to the word of God and obeyed it, he destroyed the idolatry. He smashed the idols, he burned them, and he scattered the remnants. And then he pressed his cause further. He went to Bethel, just to the north of his territory. And he destroyed the idols and the altars there too. And he went throughout Samaria. At this time, the kingdom of Assyria, which was nominally over that part of the land, was weak, and he was able to to get away with it, so to speak. And why did he do this? Why did he destroy the idolatry? Because he had a tender heart. He had a heart which was responsive to God's word. And in that reading of the law, the Ten Commandments were certainly included. And the second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or in the earth beneath or under the earth, and you shall not bow down and worship them. And as a king in Israel, his task was to destroy idolatry. And the same principle works today, that the people of God who are regenerate and who are walking in obedience to Jesus Christ have a tender heart, responsive to God's word, and responsive to God's word concerning worship and idolatry. This is called the regulative principle. And so those whose hearts are tender and responsive to God's word oppose idolatry in all its forms. The idolatry of lay preaching, women preaching, erroneous preaching, Arminian preaching, charismatic preaching, the idolatry of corrupt worship, where there's chaos in many professing churches, people shrieking, crying out, being slain in the spirit, all such nonsense, and all human intrusions into the public worship of God. Josiah, as a tender-hearted king, was interested in church reformation. And all those who bear his name and bear his spirit are interested too in church reformation. We hope and pray the same for little Josiah. And along with the negative, the destruction of idolatry, comes the positive, the reformation of God's church. The first three verses of 2 Kings 23 tell us that King Josiah renewed the covenant between God and his people. In verses 21 to 23, he reinstituted the proper worship of God in the Passover because he had a tender heart. He saw the church needed God's ordinances restored again in purity. And then he engaged in the important work of church discipline, which is the third mark of the church. 2 Kings 23, verse 7, and he, that is Josiah, break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. There were homosexuals in the very temple precincts as good members of the church. And that's so far, there are churches today who have gone so far that they have homosexuals in church membership or are flirting with it. Josiah, as a man whose heart was tender, purged that. Out go the homosexuals from the church of God. Chapter 23, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations, did Josiah put away. There were witches in the church, and wizards in the church. At the minute, in the Church of England, there's a man who's dressed up as a druid, and he's the Archbishop of Canterbury. A man whose heart is tender opposes that idolatry and, as far as he has power, stamps that out. And Josiah exercised church discipline. In Jeremiah 22, verses 15 to 16, he exercised justice in 101 different ways. And verse 25 of 2 Kings 23 sums it up. Like unto Josiah was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Because he had a tender heart and he listened to God's word. That's our desire for little Josiah, and that's our desire in the church of God, that we might worship God the way he ordains and that we might stamp out idolatry because we tremble at God's word. Amen.